Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Well, that's risky. Oh my gosh. I was a real picky eater when I entered the ministry. And I was at a church dinner, and I got something I wasn't sure about. I thought, that's good. And I got that and sat down. The lady across from me introduced herself. She said, "Oh, you got what I brought." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "A lot of people don't like it, but I'm glad you do." And I took a bite, and I wanted to spit it on her. Oh, it was horrible. But I ate it. You shouldn't lie in church, but I did. I said, "It's different." She said, "Yeah, I use a recipe other people don't have." And she said, and I ate it. She said, "Let me get you some more." I thought, "Honey, don't." Now, the church is providing the big dead animal and other things, and everybody else brings side dish. That right? Now, what if they all bring the same side? Huh? Oh, y'all are smart. What if everybody came and everybody brought potatoes? That wouldn't work, would it? You know what's wrong, though? One thing that's wrong in the church today? We don't allow enough room for differences. We're all different. Now look at these people over here. They're about as different as you can get. I mean by that, you're the only three on that side. You know, I thought it was a Bible story. I looked over there and there was the three wise people over there in the corner. But, how many of y'all, you can be different. My wife and I, when we're between churches, you know, I can't hold the jobs. I'm always between churches. And, we've gone to Pentecostal churches. We've gone to the Church of Christ. We went to the Methodist church. We went to the Catholic church. We went to the Lutheran church. We've been to them all. And I found out some of them are awful boring. Oh, Lord have mercy, they boring. We went to one time, and there was her sister in there, and we were on vacation. "Where are you going at in Florida, brother? You say you're going to Florida? You need a minister to go with you?" But we were on vacation in Florida, and her sister said, "Can we go to that church?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't care." And this big old church. And her sister belongs to the Christian church, and it was Pentecostal. And an hour and a half after we got in there, they started singing. An hour and a half later, we hadn't sat down, and they're still singing. And they had different groups coming and going, and my sister-in-law said, "I got to get out of here." I said, "We hadn't even got to the service yet." She said, "Well, I won't either. I'm leaving." She wanted out of there. But there ought to be room in God's church for you to be you. Amen? Not everybody ought to be the same. It'd be like having a supper with everybody having the same thing, you know. Listen, I would do a little experiment. How many of y'all, young and old, went to school? Raise your hand. I didn't say, did you pay attention? I just asked, did you go to school? Okay, now, if you went to school and you have a pen or a pencil and piece of paper, we'll do a little test here real quick. How many got a pen or a piece of paper? Just get one out and, you know, just ask your neighbor to give you a $50 bill to write on if you don't have a piece of paper. You got a pen and a piece of paper. We're going to do a simple math problem. Simple math problem. How many here know simple math? Let me ask you another question. Simple math. Anybody here, anyone here, not y'all, born in 1944? We have anybody here born in 1944? I got this 1944 penny in change today. And I'll give it to somebody if they were born in 44. Earlier than that. Okay. Well, anyway, how many got your piece of paper and your pencil? Okay, now we're going to do a simple math. I'm not going to do higher math on you, just simple math. Write the number 5 down 4 times. Write the number 5 down 4 times. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Now, you can use your little telephone if you want. You can use that if you don't have a piece of paper. But the number 5, 4 times. How many's got it already done? Oh, y'all, good class. I ought to have been a school teacher. Let's see. Well, we'll just pick on this girl right here. What did you get? And did you add it together?
No.
No, oh, I'm sorry. Add your numbers together. I'm sorry. Lord have mercy. Maybe I'm not such a good teacher after all. I'm telling you. You got to write the number 5 down. How many times? Wait a minute. I got an eager student right there. I'll call on you just a minute. Now, let's see. Now, I'll give this girl here a second chance. You know, she's smart. You know who she married, doesn't she? Well, she's smarter than that. But, I mean, what'd you get this time? 20. What'd you get? 20. Oh, how many got that answer? Well, that's not the answer I wanted. Well, let's try it again. Did you look at your 5? Maybe I didn't say it right. Your number 5, 4 times. And I add it again. Did you add it, brother? Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm in that special ed class. Okay. Well, that's 4 or 5 times, but you didn't add them together. You got to add them. Well, that's a good thing. He wrote 5 down. He got 5,500. But, no, well, now look at it this way. You take the number 5, simple enough, and you put it down 4 times. Most of you put it in a row. What if you write 55 and 55 and add that together? Write 55 and 55. I didn't tell you how to write it down, did I? I just said write the number 5 4 times. Now we're going to go do it. Write 55 and 55 and add that together. Oh, wait a minute. Did you do it, brother? What'd you get? Huh? 110. Now, that beats your 20 by a long shot, doesn't it? Oh, but he got a hundred. How many else got 110 on that second one? Okay, now we're going to do it one more time. Write the number 5 down 3 times, 1, 2, 3, right beside each other. And then take the fourth 5 and put it on the right-hand side on the bottom and add it together. Now, this girl here is really counting. I can see her lips moving. And she took her shoes off and counted everything. Okay, wait a minute. She had her hand up first. I'm going to give you a shot at it. Yes? 560. Now, wait a minute. We start off with the same number, 5, 5, 5, 5, and first time we come up with what? 20. 20. And then the last thing we wound up with is what? 560. But it's the same 5 numbers. Right? I had a treasurer one time at the church, and I said, you know, he gave me my check. I said, I'd like that check a lot better if it had a few more zeros on it. So he said, okay. So I got my check the next week. It said so many dollars, .00000. And I said, oh. I told him, I said, the next week, I said, I wish I'd told you which side of the decimal I wanted that zeros on. He said, well, it's too late now, preacher. You know, it may sound simple, it may sound easy, but God doesn't expect you all to do the same thing all the time. Amen? God does it. But today we want to cram everybody into a little box. Say, you got to be like him, and you got to be like her, and you got to be like this, and you got to be like everyone. No. God made every one of you different. And God made every one of you special. Now, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, you turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. My Bible, my wife said, is that an Old Testament, New Testament? I pay for some of these remarks when I get home. Some of them I pay on the way home. Now listen, the book of Romans, chapter 14. You can put your pens and pencils up. You're not going to have any more math quizzes tonight. But you got to admit, there's a lot of difference between 20 and 560, isn't it? Now, if I was going to give you money, would you rather have $20 or $560? Now, listen. God has a place for you. It's not the same place I'm at, and it's not the place he's at, not the place she's at. But God has a place for every one of you. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, you know, chapter 14, verse 1, a person that's weak in the faith, take him in. Now, he does say without, you know, you got to be just a little wise. If he's known for killing people, you might want to keep him on the outside. But in other words, there's room in God's church for everybody. For everybody. I had a man when I joined the church, and you won't believe it, I had hair down to here and a big old beard, and I had on sandals and old jeans, and I walked that aisle, and this old fella, he liked to have a heart attack. He told somebody, one of them hippies done joined the church. He wasn't fond of hippies. But that old man got beyond that. And he personally took me under his wing. And he helped grow me as a young Christian in Jesus Christ. Amen. He always told me about the same thing. Get a haircut, boy. Get a haircut, boy. Get a haircut, boy. He never did like that long hair, but he didn't let that stop him. He said, God, if you send him here, I'm going to do all I can to help him. Amen. We sometimes shun people. That's not the way it ought to be. Now, Paul said, if somebody comes and they're weak, receive them anyway. In other words, they hadn't grown up in the faith. They hadn't got their act together. They don't know their theology. They don't know doctrine. They don't know all this stuff. But let them come in anyway. Amen. He said in verse 2, one believes that he can eat all things. We call him what? A Baptist. He can eat anything that comes down the pike. Boy, just put it on the table, he's going to eat it. But another, and Paul says that it is weak. I have a friend that's a vegetarian. She hates that little right there, the one that is weak. Only eats vegetables. You know what we call them? Starving people. No. I've got some friends that are vegetarians, and God bless them, they do well. I have a neighbor, we don't have him over to eat. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, him and his wife. They still live by what? The Old Testament dietary rules. I wouldn't know what to fix them. They can't eat country ham. But Paul said, one eats anything, and he's not just talking about meat and everything. He's talking about meat that's been what? offered to idols. Back in those days, a lot of times in the temples, they would make animal sacrifice. The temple not just to God, but the temple to every different god. They'd make sacrifices, and then they would sell the meat. Now, some Christians said, I'm not buying any meat. I'm not buying any meat that was offered to an idol. Paul said, it doesn't matter. The idol doesn't amount to anything. Just a piece of wood or stone. Amen? And some Christians said, well, I won't eat that. I'll just be a vegetarian. Paul said, verse 3, him that eateth shouldn't hate those that don't eat. Let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. Verse 4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Here's the important thing. When I became a Christian, I talked to my pastor and I said, oh boy, I got some things I gotta have to do. I'm gonna do this, that. He said, who told you that? I said, well, I gotta do a lot of changing in my life. He said, well, you're probably right about that, boy. But he said, don't let anybody tell you what to do. You read God's word, you pray, and you do what God tells you to do. Amen. I said, really? Really? I thought I found the big, wide, open loophole. I said, in other words, if I want to keep doing such and such, he said, well, if you're honest with God, you read God's word, you pray, and if God says it's okay, then don't let anybody else tell you different. He hadn't told me about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the convicting power of the Spirit yet. But I realized that day he was saying what? When you become a Christian, you belong to God, not anybody else. Amen? You become God's child. I don't go around correcting other people's children. I see other kids, I say, boy, I wish I could be their parent for 5 minutes. You know, I'd love to have that kid for 5 minutes. No. God gave me 2 children. It's my job to raise them. It's your job to raise all these others. Amen. A person stands or falls before God. Before God. Your life and my life, I'm not living to impress you. And I hope you're not living to impress me. I'm living for God. For the God who died for me. The God who saved me. The God who was raised from the dead. And the God who one day is coming back again. Amen? I kind of hope I'm there for that. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy that. Flying without a plane. Woo! I'll be like old Superman. I'll do this on my way to heaven. I'll just fly right through the air. But what I know I'll do, I'll have to look around, and I might be disappointed at who's left, to those that are still down there. But it's too late to be disappointed then. If I'm doing what God told me to do now, then that's all I can do. Amen. There's some people that we love and they're going to not be in heaven. There are going to be people who say, oh, Lord, I was a preacher. And God said, yeah, but you wasn't preaching what I told you to preach. Get away from me. I never knew you. That's our Lord Himself saying that. Judgment starts in the house of God. Did you know that? And I believe when it starts in the house of God, it starts at the pulpit first. The first ones to line up before Christ are going to be the ministers of God. And it's also going to be, listen very carefully, the Sunday school teachers in the church. One of the most important jobs in the church is not just in the pulpit, it's in the Sunday school room. Teachers, I pray for you as much as I pray for myself. You've got these little kids and their minds are wide open. And if you make the gospel boring, they'll think God is boring. If you make church boring, they're going to think God is boring. Let them know we serve a mighty God, a wonderful God, a God who can make heaven and earth and the stars and all that's in them. Amen. A God that can forgive sin and cause us to be born again. I'm at an awkward age in my life. My grandkids sometimes call me old man. Hey, old man, come over here, old man. I bet you can't do this, old man. And I've showed them I could. Then I laid on the ground, wished I hadn't. So my grandkids think I'm a dinosaur. And my wife, she's always telling me to grow up. I'm at an awkward age. I don't know whether I need to grow up or fall over. But I know this. I answer to God. Listen. Don't try to just be so one mind that you lose who you are. The only thing that really matters from beginning to end is what this Bible's about. And this Bible's about one thing from beginning to end. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus all the way through the Bible. Amen? In the Old Testament, they're pointing to Jesus. They're pointing forward. In the New Testament, they're pointing back. And it's all about Jesus. And I want to tell you this, I don't care how much you clean up your act or what you're doing that, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've missed it all. Everything else falls away. When I get to heaven and God says, why should I let you in? I'm going to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, will say, yes, Father, I remember the day that boy got on his knees and asked me to be his Savior and Lord. Let him come on in. That settles it right there. Amen. Oh, do you know that you're saved? I didn't ask, do you know you're perfect? I didn't ask if you do everything right. Do you know you're saved? That's the only thing that matters. That's all that matters. We can have differences of opinion. Paul said, verse 5, one day regards us, one man esteems one day above another. In other words, he honors one day like we do. What day? What day do we honor? Sunday. Sunday's our holy day is a way of speaking. Now, my neighbor, his holy day is when? It's Saturday. Who's right? Who cares? Who cares? I don't care. He said, one man says, well, every day is alike. He said, let everybody make up their own mind on this. God didn't give you a rule that you had to meet on this day as a Christian. Every day ought to be holy for a Christian. Amen. People asked me, said, Brother Gray, you want to go to the Holy Land? I said, I was just there yesterday. They said, what? I said, well, I was just there yesterday. I was on the back of the place and just walking around, looking at the turkey, the deer, and I just felt like I was in God's presence. You know, anywhere I am and God is, that's Holy Land as far as I'm concerned. Amen. I don't need to go to Israel. My God's right here in Bedford County. My God's in Shelbyville. My God's in Unionville. My God even made it all the way to Rockville. God is everywhere. Don't tell me that I need to go to the Holy Land to feel God's presence. If you can't feel Him right here, you're not going to feel Him over there. Now, listen. This is so important. Somebody might do something you don't particularly doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. Unless they're breaking one of God's laws, one of God's rules, unless they're openly sinning, they have the right to do it. Amen? Some churches don't want screens on the wall. Oh, some churches don't want pianos in the church. Oh, well, that screen's not going to save you and that piano's not going to save you. But I love that piano because I've heard Baptists sing and we need to drown them out as much as we can. Oh, Lord, you ever seen a bunch of Baptists singing a cappella? It sounds like confused Pentecostals. Nobody knows what they're going on around here. Now, I like acapella music. I like going to Church of Christ. I love to hear them sing. And they sing. Baptists, what kind of mumble? Praise the Lord, blessings blow. Now some of y'all saying, now he's gone to meddling. Now, I didn't look at any of you when I did that. But this is so important. If we don't keep Jesus the center of everything we do, we'll get so far off track. We'll become a club. We'll become a society. We'll become anything but a church. A church's main job is to witness to Jesus Christ and serve Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our whole job. It's that simple. Well, Brother Gray, I'm not good at memorizing verses. Can you say you're saved? If you can say yes, then you can tell somebody else that God saved you. And that's all we can do. Amen? Now, Brother Gray, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Well, do what I do. I said, well, I'll go home and ask my wife. I don't know. You mean to answer this question? A preacher friend called me this week. He called me Tuesday. Oh, it's been a bad week. A lady called me Monday and said her daughter, 55 years old, fell over dead. I don't know if I'd do a funeral. I said, yeah. Tuesday night, a fellow pastor called me. He said, Brother Gray, I need your help. I said, what? He said, I need you to do a funeral. I said, well, you don't sound dead. He said, well, I'm not. He said, but I've got a funeral scheduled in Tullahoma tomorrow. And he said, I just got diagnosed with the flu. So I get to go tomorrow to Tullahoma to meet a family for the first time and do a funeral. But I don't worry about that. Because the man that died, according to the pastor, is a good man, a godly man. And anybody can do a godly man's funeral, amen. He's already lived his life. Listen, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. When I do a funeral, I had a fellow the other day. Well, just this afternoon, I'm visiting his wife's real sick, and he's not well. And he said, now, Brother Gray, you're going to do my wife's funeral, and you're going to do my funeral. I said, you're about as cheap a man as I ever met. He said, what? I said, you're trying to get a group discount on a funeral. I said, I've already told you I'll give you a senior citizen discount. You're so old. He just laughed. Because both of them, there's nothing but good you can say about them. Amen. You can have fun with them when you know they're just changing from here to there. The worst one. Is when you preach a funeral for a person who never accepted Jesus Christ. I don't care what you can say about them. You can't say you'll see them in heaven one day. I can preach a baby's funeral. I've done so many little children. They always say the same thing. Brother Gray, will children be in heaven? That's, well, the Bible doesn't really answer that. Now, King David, you know, he had a baby that died. Remember that? Him and his girlfriend, Bathsheba. They had a baby, and that little baby got sick and sick and sick, and then it died. And what did King David say? I'll go to him, but he won't come back to me. I believe that's his way of saying that child's going to be with God. Amen? Everything I know about God, although I don't have a verse to point out, says he would not send a child to hell, a baby to hell. That's the God I serve. And God wouldn't send you to hell. God wouldn't send me to hell. The trouble is, we send ourselves there sometimes. We send ourselves there. Not God's choice. God so loved the world, he sent his only son to die for sinners. The only reason a sinner goes to hell is because he chooses hell over God. People say, I can't serve a God who would send people to hell. I say, well, you don't know God. You don't know God. God's not doing it with a ha-ha-ha. God's doing it with a broken heart. Because he can't let sin come into his presence. He can't let sin pollute that place that he's making for us. Oh, I think about the New Jerusalem. Woo! Oh! Oh my goodness! I don't care about seeing Paris. I don't care about seeing London. I don't care at all about seeing New York. But I do want to see that new city, don't you? Won't be no mugging there. Won't be no sirens there. Won't be no people sleeping on the streets there. There'll be joy there and love there and God. I want to ask you to bow your head for a moment. Song leader, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? I thought he done fell asleep on the couch. I want to ask you to stand just for a moment. I want to ask you a question. Are you getting all God wants you to have? Are you living the Christian life? You say, I don't understand what that preacher's talking about. I don't feel what he talks about, what Jonathan talks about. Well, listen, you might be adding it the wrong way. You try to look at life and add it up 5-4 times, you keep coming up 20. Well, you know, God's got new math. If you let God arrange your life, you'll come up not with 20, not with 110, but with what? 560. God's got more blessings than you and I could contain. But we got to let God make our life add up. Amen? You're here tonight. You say, I want that. I can't give it to you. But you can receive it by asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And surrendering your life to Him and say, God, I don't understand it all. But I know there has to be more than I'm living right now. I open myself to you and ask Jesus Christ to save me. Let's just pray real quick, then we'll, brother, lead us in a song.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today if you do that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.